Hello there, boxing fans around the world. Thank you for joining me once again here on Talk and Fight for another episode of Boxing News Today. And we're going to swing from various subject matter. But let's start off with, before we get to the rather comedic episode that happened atop the Empire State Building in New York City between Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia, let me start off with something of a little more serious nature, and that is what the IOC has said and is doing with respect to finding an organization to take control of boxing at the Olympic level. Because I'm reading a headline screaming out at us from Sky Sports saying Olympic boxing is on course to crash out of the games. Olympic boxing is on course to crash out of the games. You know, what's next? So, you know, that caught my attention because just the other day, we read the announcement that the IBA had basically been declared officially unfit to recognize any of the national bodies from all the various countries around the world. So I wondered, you know, why on earth would the people at Sky Sports be wondering whether there's any other body out there that may be in a position to represent on an international level boxing as a sport going forward at the Olympic Games. So I read this article, this extensive article, and I got to this particular juncture where it says, to become a viable replacement body, to take over where the IBA had failed at, okay? World boxing needs national boxing federations to continue to join its membership with a global spread and to further demonstrate its capacity to organize competitions. The organization currently has 28 member federations spread across 5 continents, but Secretary General Simon Tolson points out that around 30 other countries have initiated formal dialogue with World Boxing with a view to joining. He said, it takes some time for the actual process to happen. So currently, we're running between 25 and 30 countries that we're in discussion with and negotiation with. I can say from my side, the barriers are paperwork. And secondly, basically, they need to disassociate themselves from IBA and change their statutes. He continued, there's actually another group of countries behind that are actually lining up saying we're interested to talk, but at this stage, we've not got any formal paperwork with them. And he added, the IOC has said that we need a number of national federations. We believe that the ones we've got, the ones that are likely to come in the next few weeks, are of good quality, and that should be enough for us to start a discussion with the IOC. He concluded, the decision by ISOIF to remove IBA completely from the Olympic movement from the summer sports is an indication that the IOC is now ready to accept a new federation. Our objective was to get as many members on board before approaching the IOC. I think we can say that we're in that situation now where we can go to the IOC with a good foundation of good governance, events, and a plan of action. Boxing is not on the program for LA 28. That's the Olympics in Los Angeles, 2028. So we really need to step up now, okay? And by the way, one of World Boxing's new competitions is currently underway in Colorado, USA, and it's noted by Sky Sports that Team GB have a strong team taking part. Let's mention a few words here for those who are interested in the up-and-comers. Super heavyweight, Delicious Ori, middleweight, Chantel Reed, and bantamweight, Charlie Davidson, who've already qualified the Olympics this summer, are in action at the World Boxing Cup USA Boxing competition, as I said, taking place right now. And while they're looking to gain vital big tournament experience ahead of the Paris Games, a squad of other GB boxers, apparently according to Sky Sports, are out to prove themselves as the best Briton in their weight classes and to be selected for the final Olympic qualification. And that takes place at the end of May in Thailand. So apparently, shall we say, the holdup between the IOC is simply in the numbers. Now, keep in mind that the IBA recently announced competitions that they organize offer up cash, large cash prizes to their winners. And there's an awful lot of countries that still participate in those competitions being held by the IBA. likely because of the money that is being thrown around by Umar Kremlev and his associates at the oil and gas company that finances the IBA. Anyway, let's move on to the Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney story that won't go away as we approach their fight night. On one hand, we have the unsold tickets fiasco, okay? Whereas that has not yet superseded what actually took place atop Empire State Building. And I'm not talking about the fact that Ryan Garcia offered $100,000 to 12 women just to cheer him from front row. Can you believe it? Anyway, so I guess if you look at it from that perspective, Ryan Garcia is doing his best to make it a sold out event. But, you know, he's hopped on social media to reveal that he has paid $100,000 to 12 women to attend the fight and cheer him on. Wow, good for him. Anyway, as I said, you know, they had this bit of a, shall we say, scuffle atop the Empire State Building. If you take a look at the pictures, it's all over now, Twitter and social media galore. But they had a couple of, a bit of a screaming match, as you might say, atop the New York skyscraper on that observation deck, of which I've been to and visited, and believe me, it's pretty high up. But here they are, scuffling away, arguing away, yelling at each other. And this is, of course, the face of boxing. And this is what we're presenting to the general public with Garcia, for example, yelling insults at Haney, such as punk-ass bitch. And, of course, Haney responds by shoving Garcia with both hands. Obviously, the pair were kept apart by security and all in a attempt to garner interest in their fight. But realistically, those fans, those 10 million fans of Ryan Garcia who are on Instagram following him, I'm pretty sure if they're really interested in his boxing career, they will know where to get that fight for free online, as opposed to paying whatever is being asked. And that's one of the big issues in boxing, obviously. But nonetheless, I wanted to mention Tim Bradley, former world champ. And he's worried, quite frankly, about the mental state, the fragile mental state of Ryan Garcia as he heads into this fight that's taking place in Brooklyn, New York. Bradley noted a couple of weeks ago that Ryan was showing signs of psychological problems. And the fans were talking about the fact he's acting a bit wacky. So Tim Bradley feels that with Ryan 24-1 having to go down and wait this week, he's gonna be weakened, and he thinks that once Ryan weighs in and starts eating, he's gonna start worrying about the fight with Haney 31-0. And Bradley feels that Ryan won't be able to handle the stress on the night of the fight. Tim doesn't say what he believes Ryan is capable of doing based on stress, aside from losing badly, which everyone already thinks he will. The only thing that would be different is Ryan not showing up for the fight or running out of the ring. Sorry, that was on BoxingNews24.com, by the way. That was a pretty funny line. Many boxing fans expect Ryan to quit when it gets tough and Haney begins dominating. And, he'll take a knee like he did with Gervonta Davis and be counted out. Then he'll jump to his feet, walk to his corner, go home, and collect his big fat paycheck. Yep. All right. So anyway, we're moving up towards that fight night. And it's interesting that people are weighing in, no pun intended. But anyway, George Kambosos Jr. is picking Devin Haney to retain his WBC light welterweight title with a victory over Ryan Garcia in a rather dominating fashion. The former unified lightweight champ Kambosos, who's lost twice to Haney, can't see a path to victory for Ryan. Kambosos feels that Ryan isn't as focused as Haney and sees that making a difference. He said Ryan has the power and speed, but seems to be focused on enjoying the newfound wealth he achieved his last year, making a boatload of money in his fight against Tank Davis there. So like anyone at Ryan's age, it would be difficult to continue to work hard if you knew you had enough money to live a life of luxury for the rest of your life. And that might explain why Ryan hasn't seemed dialed in for this fight like he was before becoming rich. Some would argue that Ryan is a smaller version of Andy Ruiz Jr. in terms of a fighter who lost his hunger after striking it rich. There's a good chance that Ryan will turn into a guy who hustles fights after he loses to Haney on Saturday. Ryan will call out fighters he has no business trying to fight, like Terrence Crawford, and try to set up fights and give them big paydays, but provide no entertainment value. So there you have it, right out of BoxingNews24.com, and what they're having to say about this, based on what George Kambosos Jr. was saying about what he thinks about Devin Haney and his clobbering of Ryan Garcia. Speaking of clobbering, Deontay Wilder is known for his power, certainly, and is known to have clobbered quite a few guys in his boxing career. But he realistically, coming up against Zhilai Zhang on the undercard of Dmitry Bivol in order to be a fight, he's intimated this could be his last fight. It's going down June 1st over in Saudi Arabia. And he was recently beaten in rather dominant fashion by Joseph Parker back in December. And also Zhang tasted defeat at the hands of Parker when they met up in March. Nonetheless, those two fellows who lost to Parker, Wilder and Zhang, they're going to go toe-to-toe as part of the Matchroom versus Queensbury 5v5 event. And Wilder said he was treating the fight as all or nothing. Come the night of the fight, we see if I got it or not. I'm holding it as my last chance, he said. I'm looking forward to the fight. I respect Zhang. He's a good fighter, but it's my time. I've been through a lot. I had to regroup, get my stuff together. Things don't change overnight. You got to keep working. I'm just ready to do what I'm known to do. Be the Wilder I am. Well, it'd be interesting to see what happens if he wins. Let's move along because I think it's rather ironic because I mentioned the other day that Eddie Hearn had selected as part of this 5v tournament underneath the main event, Bivol versus Beterbiev. The Saudis wanted a team captain name. And that team captain, by the way, I believe gets double the points as far as the tournament style arrangement set up. So Eddie Hearn picks Deontay Wilder. My point is rather ironic since he spent years, calling Deontay Wilder nothing but shit. So anyway, Eddie Hearn selects Deontay Wilder as his captain, hoping, of course, he'll knock out Zhang. And it's interesting that Frank Warren selected Hamza Shariz as his captain. And Hamza Shariz is going up against Emma Williams in their bout. So anyway, it's 2 points for stoppage win, 1 point for decision, and double for captains. So there you go. Might be a bit of, politics involved. I don't know. Who knows? Who cares? In interesting news here, there's a new league that started up, well, relatively new. It started up a couple of years ago. It's been inviting veterans and semi-retired fighters, up-and-coming fighters, to join a city-based team. And that city-based team then travels to other cities. They have a round. They get points for that round. And whoever wins the most points in terms of the team, they move up the standings. So anyways, it's a good concept. But what could possibly go wrong? Undefeated with an 8-0 record, Artie Dinembo was so dominant that 7 of those victories were via KO. But in a shocking turn of events, the heavyweight boxer sustained heavy injuries while competing in Miami, Florida. On April 5th, 2024, he fought against Nestor Santana for Team Combat League, but lost via first-round knockout. However, after the loss, he lay on the canvas motionless for over 10 minutes. It is reported by the media that the heavyweight boxer was then carried off on a stretcher. After this, he was put into a medically induced coma. The prognosis didn't provide a glimmer of hope and raised concern for fans and family members alike. He apparently has 2 children. And they're obviously worried a lot, not only about his future, but I'm sure his medical bills. Apparently writing on Instagram, IFL TV wrote, Congolese heavyweight Artie Dinembo currently fighting for his life, having been placed on medically induced coma following first round knockout. Our thoughts and prayers with Artie and his family and friends. Now here's something a bit weird. His current state is shocking for combat fans, without a doubt, but a GoFundMe page was started for him stating that Team Combat League, I can't believe they won't cover his medical expenses. It stated that Team Combat League will match total third-party donations up to a maximum of $25,000 to assist the Ndembo children. Isn't that ridiculous? You start a league, you sign these people up, and you know, one of them is now in hospital, may or may not come out of a coma, and Team Combat League don't even stand up. I've never seen this in any professional sport where, you know, medical bills are an issue, unless you're talking about the 1920s and 30s, where there was no such thing as medical insurance, etc. So I truly hope that Team Combat League make a statement and tell us in the media what they are doing. And I hope it's everything possible to ensure that he receives the best medical care so that he survives those injuries suffered in their ring while fighting for their league. All right, boxing fans, that's about wraps up today. Thanks very much for joining me. Appreciate it very much. Remember to like, share, subscribe, hit that notification bell for me. And we'll see you, what is tomorrow? Yes, 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on TalkingFight.com. For all the boxing news and headlines from around the world. Cheers.